Grace Bible Church
is dedicated to the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, helping you get more out of your Bible. Grace Bible Church is located at 20 Cecil Lane, right behind the Arby's on Atlanta Highway. Call 888-7-CHRIST for service times and other materials. And now, your Bible teacher.
Well, good morning to all of you this morning. I hope you're
glad as
I am. Good morning. I'm glad to see each of you here today and here at Grace Bible Church. We, this morning, if you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Now, somebody has said they don't know who I am. Well, my name is Wade Barra. I've been around this Montgomery area here for about 40 years and preaching different places, prisons and juvenile facilities and churches and I came here about 9 months ago because I saw Brother Barry Hampton's TV program. I've been watching it off and on for about 5 years when I could. And so my wife and I decided to come down here, and we've been here, and we just really have enjoyed being here, and we like the people, and we like the things that are going on here with the ministries. And so we decided that this is where we wanted to be. And I would introduce my wife, but I don't know if you can turn that camera around or not, can you? No, you can't? Okay. Well, she's back there, and my two grandsons are here this morning, and I told them this morning, I said, don't, Papa, don't tell nobody. We went trick-or-treating. I said, that's the first thing I'm going to tell them. I told them last night, I said, y'all are too big to go trick-or-treating. But Craig says, well, you just don't know how I love candy, Papa. I said, well, just looking at you, I think I do. He's 15 and what, 6'1", about 200, something like that, 220, yeah. Yeah, so he loves candy. Now, ain't no doubt about it.
Just a growing boy.
And this morning, now, I want us to look in Romans chapter 6. And I want us to look at some things here in the Word of God about baptism here. And I want you to take your pencil and make a little note right there at the beginning of the chapter. Because this is a very confusing verse for a lot of people. And just make you a little note there. No water in chapter 6. Now, I'm going to read the verse first. Let's read the first four verses. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you today for the privilege of being and the liberty of coming to church and meeting together as Bible believers. Lord, that we can open up a book and we can believe it, and Lord, we can live it, Lord, as we believe that you'd have us to do. And Lord, we just thank you for that wonderful privilege, Lord, that we still have in this country. And Lord, we just ask today that we might learn something that be encouragement to us to serve you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what's going to happen here is if you put water in this verse, you're going to come out of this thing being a Church of Christ or possibly what we refer to as a Baptist brighter. And we know that works has nothing to do with our salvation here at this church. But if you try to make this water baptism, you're going to have doctrinal problems throughout the rest of this Paul's writings. So what we have here then, if it's not water baptism, then what is it? Well, It's spiritual baptism. It's done by the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God that baptizes us into Jesus Christ when we get saved. And He does the work. He puts us there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. We have a very clear, matter of fact, this is the only place you can find where it's explained in your Bible exactly what happens to you when you get saved. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I knew something was different, okay? But I did not know what God had done for me till years later when I studied my Bible and I learned in this Bible what God had actually done for me as a Christian. I didn't know that. It says, let's look at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Not only has the Holy Spirit placed us into the body of Christ whenever we got saved, but also this was also a mystery. And I don't plan to go there, but it was a mystery in that you have Jews and Gentiles in one body. See, before God always told the Jews that they were to be separate from everybody else. They were God's chosen people. So now God removes that distinction in the body of Christ. There's no Jew or Gentile, red, yellow, black, or white. It's not there in the body of Christ. And another place, neither female or male. And that's in the body of Christ. Now, see, that confuses some people because in the millennial age, you still have people marrying and having families. And even in the millennial age, you even have offerings continuing. You read over there in the book of Isaiah where once a year they come up before the Lord. And if they don't come up before the Lord, then the Lord cuts off the rain. And, you know, so out in the future, they still have sacrifices. But yet, the Bible says over in Hebrews that there's no more sacrifice for sin.
Right.
So what are they doing? Well, it's like in memory of. It's remembrance of what Jesus Christ did back there on that cross. At that point, it'll be 3,000 years ago. See? So, there are things like that in this Bible that God does for us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is, He puts us into the body of Christ. And the Spirit of God does that. We don't have anything to do with it. When you get saved, it's a done deal. And, I want to put a little picture up here on the board and see if I can illustrate this just a little bit better. Now, I'm not an artist. Some people are. You know, they're a little bit better, I think. But maybe I can get enough of this guy up here that we can illustrate what I'm trying to say. And so here we have a man up here, and this man, he has a dead spirit in him, and he has a soul. So he's a little man, and he's got another little man in him. See? So man has a body, and he has a soul. And in the natural state, that man has a dead spirit in him. When Adam sinned, he has a dead spirit in him. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, the Bible does not make a distinction between the body and the soul. So that when you look at that man,
in the Old Testament, if you just look at the Old Testament, you may come out of that being a JW. And the reason is this, because a JW believes man has only two parts. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now, these are what I consider to be basic milk of the word type verses, because these are things that Paul gives in his early ministry to help these Christians to understand what God's done for them. I think it's extremely important that Christians know what God done for them when they got saved. Not only that, what they can expect. It says here in verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that verse very plainly teaches that a man has three parts. He's got a body, he's got a soul, and he's got a spirit. But in Adam, that spirit is a dead spirit. It's dead. So when you look at that man, he just looks like two parts. And you can't see a spirit anyway, can you? You can't see spirits. I don't care what they do on TV, what that crazy program where them guys chasing these ghosts around and stuff like that.
I like the wind. Ghost hunters?
Ghost hunters, yeah. You can't see them. And so you can't see a spirit, but that spirit is there, and it's a dead spirit, and that spirit is kind of, he's stuck in the flesh. He's in there, but he's stuck in that flesh, and he's a dead spirit. And that spirit is associated with the body. It's wicked. See, that's why the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. See, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then that spirit, then, something happens whenever God saves a man, and God did this for him. And he didn't even know that he did it until he read about it in the Bible. And let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2. I wasn't going to say nothing about them going trick-or-treating until they told me not to say something. that was just something that you don't do, boys. If you don't want somebody to know something, then don't tell them you don't want it known. I worked for the railroad for 31 years and retired, but there's one thing about railroad people is, if you don't want something known, if you don't want to be ridiculed for it, you better not tell it, because they're going to just bear down on it then. They're going to try to take you apart. It's just like kids, I guess, just like a family. Now, they'll fuss and fight among themselves, but don't mess with one of them.
That's right.
Look at verse 10 here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. "And ye are complete in him," all right, "in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting on the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." Now there's that baptism again. But it's not water. You know, we went to a place where we had a Bible college, and we have young men come in and they want to enlist in Bible college, and they get into this Bible, and they start studying this Bible. And you just can't imagine some of the crazy things people come up with. And we had this one young man, and I like this young man. I mean, we would go preach together, you know, different places and stuff. And he got up, I remember, in the pulpit, and he started preaching this stuff here in Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2, that's water baptism. Now, you know, I lost a good friend when I told him he was wrong. You know, he couldn't handle that. He'd been in that Bible. He'd been studying his Bible. I mean, he'd been studying that Bible a lot. Just because you study the Bible a lot don't always mean your doctrine is right. And his brother-in-law that was with him, oh, they didn't want nothing else to do with me, you know. Or some of the other guys. They didn't last too long. But they were good guys. They just couldn't take a little rebuke, you know. They couldn't take a little correction. And when you're trying to show them, you know, what the Bible really saying, what it's really talking about, and they just couldn't get that. And the reason they couldn't get it was because they read in Dr. So-and-so's book where he said that was water baptism. And, you know, it's sad. It's really sad. I had his brother-in-law told me one time, he says, I forgot the exact verse, he says, that's the church right there. I said, he says, that's the church right there. And Matthew, you know, he was telling me, because he done read this up, this same doctor. I said, I want to ask you something. How can you have church age doctrine in the back book of Matthew whenever the body of Christ is not even revealed until Paul reveals it in his writings? You can't have the doctrine until it's already been revealed. And it hadn't been revealed. Nobody knew it. Anyway, another friend of mine told me, says, you know, you hurt his feelings real bad. I said, look, you know, I says, I didn't do that to try to hurt the man's feelings. I'm trying to reason with him out of these scriptures and show him, you know, what's going on here, you know. And I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was just a kid. I was 11 and a half years old. And I know I got saved. I understood the gospel, even though I didn't understand it like I do now and like you do, simply because you've been in a church where you heard the gospel correctly preached. But I knew that there was differences in this Bible that I couldn't explain. I didn't know the answer to them. And I had an old lady. White-headed. She's white-headed ever since I ever known her as a kid. But she taught the young people the Bible at the church, and she said this. First of all, she said, this book right here is God's Word, without mistake or error. Don't never let anybody take it away from you. And she said, when you study your Bible and when you read your Bible, if you see something you don't understand, just either write it down, make a mental mark, do something, and then ask God to help you to understand that. And so don't get tied up on it. You know, don't get bogged down on it. Go on. And so that's what I've tried to... You know, there's things in this Bible that I read back when I was a kid that I didn't understand until 12 years later. And there's some other things in this Bible that I read 30 years ago that... Just in the last few years, I've understand it, you know, and a Bible education. See, you don't never get it all. You don't never get it all. You can learn a lot about this Bible, and you can know a lot about this Bible, but you'll never get it all. Not on this side of heaven. But here's what happened, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. There's that dead man. By the circumcision of Christ. So here's what happened when you got saved. Now, everybody in here knows what circumcision is. It simply means the cutting away of the flesh. So here's what God did, the Holy Spirit. See, He goes in here to this man, and He cuts this man out of that flesh. It's a circumcision. And it's the cutting away of the flesh. And he separates this. He separates the two. You've got a man here. He has a body of flesh that is, it's just as wicked as it ever was. And then, and now you got a man, a new man in there. See, that Spirit of God puts a seal on that man's soul. So that man, he can't go to hell if he wanted to. And it's, we'll look at that in just a minute, but this man now, he's still capable of doing the same things he's always done. See, he ought not to. You know, I tell these guys in jail, I said, you still just as capable of doing anything that you did before you got saved. You can still do those things. And you need to understand that. Just because you got saved in prison don't mean everything's going to be all right. As a matter of fact, things are really fixing to happen to you. Because these other fellows are going to know what you just did, and they're going to work on you. And see, and you don't even know enough of your Bible yet to even know how to deal with it. You're just in a mess. And some of them, once in a while, some of them come out of that thing. Most of them don't. Most of them don't. some of them have been, the things that they've done and committed, they're going to spend the rest of their life in jail anyway. I met this boy in jail one time, and if I call his name, some of you probably know him, but because he's been on the TV several times, and I've been going into this cell here for about 2 years preaching in there, and that boy was in there every day. And man, he was learning that Bible. He was rightly dividing it, and man, he was just doing great. And, you know, you're not supposed to talk about what they're in there for, or, you know, that sort of stuff, but I asked him one day, I says, when is your trial coming up? You've been in here 2 years now. He said, oh, brother, wait, I ain't worried about no trial. I'm going to be in jail the rest of my life. And that was his attitude. He said, why should I press anybody for a trial date? I'm going to be here the rest of my life. And so I found out later that Kevin had a problem with drugs. Him and his mother got in an accident, and he killed his mother. You know, that's... And I asked him, I said, well, Kevin, when did you get saved? He said, well, oh, I got saved before I did that. I said, you did? He said, yeah. He says, I didn't know nothing about the Bible, I wasn't living right. I was fooling with drugs, and we got in an argument, and said, I just did it before I knew what, And says, now I'm going to spend the rest of my life in jail. And says, they're trying to get the death penalty. So a person needs to realize, especially young people, you may get saved when you're young, but you need to realize you still got a problem. That's that flesh. And that flesh, that's a dead spirit. It's considered a dead spirit, but that spirit is like the... It's demonic. And it has the lust of the flesh. When Paul talked about the lust of the flesh, a man is capable of doing anything after he becomes a Christian that he did before he was a Christian. And people don't understand that. They need to know. I didn't know that. It took me a long time to learn that after I became a Christian. Matter of fact, I think I've been a Christian for about a month, and I did something. And I said, Lord, I know that's wrong, and I shouldn't have done that, but I don't know why I did it. Flesh. Yeah, the flesh. And so I said, well, I don't know what to do. I just keep on trying to serve the Lord. And I think that was the best decision I ever made. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like a drunk. Now, you know, you don't say that no more. It's chemically dependent. If you work down at the rescue mission, he's chemically dependent. And you don't say hobo anymore. He's a transit. So you got to be politically correct. But these chemically dependent, they'd go through these programs, and they'd do real good. And I mean, I'm talking about real intelligent people. I'm not talking about uneducated people. Matter of fact, there's one of these guys. He was a pharmacist, but he didn't have a prescription. He just wrote one. You know? Well, he didn't last. They put him in jail for that. You know, you can't just write your own prescription, but he got a hold of a pad, and he knew how to do it. He knew all them big words and what it was, and he knew how to write it, and he did it. But anyway, great guy. Great guy. Nice guy you ever want to meet. Learning the Bible, studying, you know, and everything. He goes through the program. He gets out. He ain't out 3 months before he's back in jail. He just, you know, I don't know what it is. I had this guy one time. He was the cook at this facility where I was going. And learning the Bible, studying the Bible, you know. And I thought, oh, man, this guy's going to do all right when he gets out. So he gets out, and he gets drunk. And he goes over. He calls up his girlfriend. And his girlfriend says, "Don't you come over here. My husband's here. Don't you come over here." Well, that fool went over there anyway, and he killed him. See? And that's just how dumb and wicked that flesh is, that old man. And, yeah, he did. He went over there anyway. And that guy, that woman's husband, killed him right there. So we need to understand what we are. See, we're sinners saved by God's grace, and it depends on who you're going to yield to as to how your life's going to be. Now, as long as you're trying to live for the flesh, you know, it won't be too hard. But if you try to live for God, that's going to be hard.
That's right.
Somebody said getting saved's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Living for God's hard.
That's right.
Doing right's hard. So this man now, he's a saved man. He's sealed. Well, go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 1. And let's look at some things here about something else God has done for us. It says here in verse 13, In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's plain English to me. You see, that new man, that inner man, that soul, is now alive unto God, and that soul is sealed. And it's the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, see, God had promised that back over there, that, you know, they'd get the Holy Spirit, but they didn't understand that they was going to get it like we get it. See, but it's the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14. Or you could go to John 14, too, and look at that. But this verse 14 here says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, what is the purchased possession? That's us. God bought us. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, we're bought with a price. See? So, we're sealed. It's the earnest of our inheritance. Does anybody here know what an earnest is?
Down payment.
Down payment? That's good. That's pretty close. But it goes just a little further. I remember years ago when my wife and I first got married, we wanted to buy some property. And so I went to the bank, and the man wanted some earnest money. That's
up front.
That's up front money. It's a guarantee is what it is. In other words, if you go to the bank, borrow some money, and I don't know if they still do this today or not. I don't even know if some of those folks would know what earnest money is. But 50 years ago, people knew what it was. They understood it. So when you go into that bank and you sit down to that loan officer and you say, here's what I want, here's what I got, and I need to do this much money. And that guy's going to say, okay, give me $500 earnest money and come back in 2 weeks. Well, you know what that $500 is? That's a guarantee you coming back. See? That's a guarantee you coming back. Now, if you don't give him nothing, what's the guarantee you coming back? None. So it's earnest money. And by the way, the guy that I was talking to at the bank, his name was Mr. Ernest. He used to be the principal up at Stanhope Elmore back in the 60s, somewhere back in there. Oh, you know him, Alan? No? Not that far back?
A little bit before my time.
Oh, okay. Actually, it was in 71 or 72, somewhere around there. But he, at that time, he wasn't in the school system no more. He was working for the bank. But anyway, his name was Mr. Ernest, and I'll never forget him because when I told him we talked about earnest money, I knew about it. And he, you know, he knew what I was talking about, just like quick, see. And matter of fact, it didn't take 30 minutes. He had my loan approved. So anyhow, he didn't even go the waiting period. But anyway, we need to move on here. We got verse 14, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. See, now it's not anything we do or anything we can claim or any of our glory, but it's to the praise of His glory that He's done this. Now, look at chapter 4 and verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now, because we are saved, now Paul gives some things here of how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Someone says the flesh has a mind of its own. And it does. And that's something that young people need to know. People need to know is that your body, your flesh, has a mind of its own. And it has a direction that it wants to go. And unless you put a halter to it, put the bridle to it, and it'll go there. You see? And it's easy. In other words, living for the devil is easy. It's living for God's heart. Getting saved is easy. Living for God's heart. Somebody said, getting saved is easy, but learning this book is hard. It takes a lot of work. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But that's in contrast to Brother Carlton. Ye have not so learned Christ. In other words, if you do these things, then you hadn't learned Christ. You hadn't learned about yourself. You hadn't learned about what God's done for you and what He desires for you to do. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That's not hard to understand, is it? You see, that lust will deceive you. That flesh will deceive you. It has a mind of its own. And it wants to go its direction. And God wants you to go in a different direction. Now,
We can go on. This says here, verse 23, and he renewed and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, how are you going to do that? Word of God. Studying, learning, memorizing. What is that? Psalm 119. Whereby shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. In other words, that's the way the word of God cleanses. You learn this book, and this book will remind you of those things over there. And so you read it, and you apply it, and you stick with it. And when you mess up, don't stay down there and waller in it. Get up. That's like those guys up there at that facility I was talking about. They'd do good for a while, and then they'd mess up. Alcoholics, whatever. They'd go on a bender, you know, and I'd say, okay, you messed up. Brush it off. Get up. Let's go again. And I promise you, you're going to mess up. Even some of us out here, you know, maybe our sins are not as obvious, but you're going to mess up somewhere. And when you do, don't quit. Don't give up. Brush it off and go on. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. See that? We are members of one another. We are in the body of Christ. You know, someone said, you know, whenever you talk about somebody behind their back, why don't you just take a knife and just stab him? Why don't you just stab him in the back? It's the same thing. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Ain't that something? You know what? You ought to have a little back pocket money. Somebody really needs some help. Your brother, you ought to be able to help them. If they really need help, you ought to be able to do that. That's hard, because a lot of times your brother won't give it back. But the best thing to do is, when you do it, just go ahead and give it with the understanding that you ain't getting it back. Then that way you won't have no hard feelings with your brother. See? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. In verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now that day of redemption, that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back in the air, not when he comes back to this earth. See, there's a resurrection before the trib begins, and then there's a resurrection at the end of the tribulation. But the church, I'm not looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in the air.
Right.
Somebody says, I'm not worried about an atomic attack, because I'm going to be part of the fallout. See? Either way, I'm going up.
Right.
Now, let's look over at Romans chapter 8. We're sealed by the Spirit. And then in Romans chapter 8, it says here that in verse 1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, if you don't want to go around feeling guilty all the time, then walk after the Spirit. I don't believe this has anything to do with a man's salvation. I've heard people, I've read their commentaries, and I've seen this thing. This thing has to do with a Christian. It says, therefore now, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
In other words, the law has no more power over you. That old wicked man, he can't do nothing. If you don't let him,
right.
See, if you don't let him, and if you don't want to be condemned, then walk after the Lord. But verse says there in the last phrase, but after the Spirit. Now look down at verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now I believe that's a reference to a lost man. You see, because he's still in the flesh over here. Now, you know, you can walk after the flesh or you can walk after the Spirit. One way or the other, you're going to go one way or the other. That's only two ways there is to go. But it says here in verse 9, but, there it is again, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I hear people say, I got in the flesh. No, you didn't. Now, you might have acted like the devil, but you didn't get in the flesh. You can't get back in the flesh. See, when God put that seal on you, that seal is until the day of redemption. That's the day when the Lord comes in the air. And I go up to meet Him in the air, and then I get another body like His body. And I'll be with Him forever. Now, I think I said this already. Don't confuse that with these millennial saints that they're still going to have bodies of flesh and they're still going to have children. And as far as I can tell, people are going to be having children right on and on and on.
Right.
Somebody said, why did God put all those planets and stuff up there? Surely some of them's inhabitable or habitable. You know, people, you know, maybe it's all to be inhabited someday. Anyhow, you can't get in the flesh. You're sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Sometimes it's very difficult to tell. That's why I don't worry about it. I preach the gospel. I give folks the gospel the best I can, and I pray for them, and then that's all you can do. You know, I don't want to confuse them with walking an aisle or getting baptized. And that confuses some people. They think because they've done that, then they're saved. And it has absolutely nothing. All right, let's be dismissed.